First, though, in the past 3 years, the government's put out nearly $787 billion in tax benefits, loans, and contracts to more than 250 accounts across government. Ed DeSev was the special advisor to the president for recovery implementation. He's now the president of the Global Public Leadership Institute, and he's here to talk about the insides of the Recovery Act. Ed, it's great to have you on the program. I appreciate you being with me today.
Delighted to be with you, Francis.
Talk about what you are writing about for the IBM Center for the Business of Government, about the insider's view of the Recovery Act. You outlined some of the key decisions made at the very beginning that you believe set the scene for how you were able to execute the act, you and your team.
I did, and it really was a network effort. We reached out to agencies. We reached out to people in state government, local government, who are getting the grants. We spent a lot of time working with Earl Devaney and his team. But paramount to all of that was attention from the top. The president and the vice president made this a very high priority. They convened as many as 14 cabinet meetings during the time I was there to just talk about recovery and to keep it right at the top of the agenda. So first thing we learned is attention from the top is really important. We also learned that financial reporting can actually be done on a weekly basis. Occasionally you've got to go back and do a little restatement from time to time, but we were able to get the agencies to report their obligations and their outlays every week so we could track with them what was going on. That was terribly important. We had 12 inspector generals who were enlisted to help us, and they did a terrific job using new tools, state-of-the-art technology tools to fight fraud along the way. Technology was at the core of everything we did. It was the sine qua non. We could not have done our work without the internet and sets of websites that were available to us. But we also learned that federalism could be made to work, that our state and local partners were willing not to try to game the system and get more money from Uncle Sam, but they were willing to produce outputs to quickly move through to try to get things done together. And we spent a lot of time working with them. They were no longer just nameless people. It was Sally from Ohio and Don from Florida. And we really enjoyed working with them. And I wish we could have that kind of federalism in things like the Medicare program.
I want to ask you in particular, Ed, about the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board, because that obviously became the model on which the Government Accountability and Transparency Board is based. And the board, led, as you mentioned, by Earl Devaney, has, by all accounts, performed exceptionally well and driven the models that other people are looking at. What's the key when you were setting that up? What was the key that you wanted the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board to be able to accomplish by combining all those inspectors general?
Number one, we wanted them to fight fraud. We wanted them to put a really tough look at what was going on. The vice president said to Earl the first time he met him, look, if you hear about anything that is a problem here, let me know and I'll announce it. I want to be out there in front talking about problems. And so that sense of vigilance was built into the board. The ability of Earl, again, to use technology, the website recovery.gov, and then the war room that he had, the Center for Fighting Fraud that he had, was unbelievable. He could really look at fraudsters and what they were doing in real time and convey that information not only to IGs, but to law enforcement officials, the Justice Department, and elsewhere. It was the rapid, continuous providing of information. You could go on, still can go on, recovery.gov, type in your zip code and see what grants have been provided down to the last 2 weeks. And it's just a tremendous demonstration that transparency will help fight fraud, which was really important to us.
On the federalism piece, were the state and local governments skeptical when you went to them and said, this is the framework that we've put together and this is how it will operate? Did you get some feedback that indicated maybe they weren't expecting it to go the way that it wound up going?
Absolutely. And what we had to do, Danny Werfel is another name that I want to really mention, the controller at OMB, because Danny and Rob Neighbors, who was a deputy at OMB at the time, set a framework for very quick turnaround in rules and regulations, great flexibility in the way things were going to happen, tremendous engagement with our partners out there, and there was a lot of training. We worked with the National Association of State Auditors, Controllers, and Treasurers, and the AGA, and the National Governors Association, and web-based training as well as personal training for all our state counterparts in all the programs was tremendously important because they were skeptical, and we had to show them that what we said we could do, we could actually deliver on, that Earl could deliver on it and Danny could deliver on it when he was putting the reporting regulations out. Everybody had a piece. Danny had the piece of creating regulations, Earl had the piece of technology, and I had the piece of really liaison with these folks of creating the network and making the network work. And it really did. We met continuously. I met with the state folks probably two or three times a month, either in person or by phone.
Last question. Was that training the key element to overcoming that skepticism, or was it relationship building or something else?
You know, it was both. When you create a network, I've done some writing on this, there are several rules. And one of the first rules is building trust. Without trust, the network falls apart very quickly because it takes way too much time to try to figure out how to do things. So the training was really relationship building as well as content sharing in order to build trust. Trust that when we said we were going to do something one way, we would do it. Or conversely, if we said we'll fix a problem within 24 hours, that we would actually fix the problem. They were stunned when they brought us problems that got fixed immediately. Stunned. But that was, again, the vice president keeping a really hard line on how we were going to do our business.
Ed, I have a lot more questions and would love to dig into this in a lot more depth, so I'd like to invite you to come into the studio when you have time and talk about your experience and this report that you've written for the IBM Center.
Well, I'll be happy to do that. As you know, I'm currently creating a program called the Global Public Leadership Program at the University of Maryland, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that, too. That was a plug.
Would love to do that. I love doing plugs, and I'll look forward to having you come back. Thanks very much for your time today.